Oh, come. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
Thank you. Good evening, church. What a privilege it is to be here with each one of you guys tonight as we get to worship and praise our Savior, and as we prepare for what tomorrow brings. For those who don't know me, my name is Pastor Tim. I've gotten to be here with the church now for several months, and I've enjoyed my time. And this Christmas Eve, I want to start with prayer before we get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each person that is here tonight. Father, I ask that you open up each one of our hearts and our minds, and that we may learn more about you and what you came to do. Father, I just ask that if I say anything not of you, let it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, may it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Kalamazoo, Michigan, a reporter by the name of Don Rice was stopped at a traffic signal when he looked up and he saw a billboard. It was a billboard for a medical center, and on that billboard, they had this big picture of the nativity scene. And with the words on there, it stated, "After thousands of births, one still inspires us." That's what we're here to celebrate tonight, the coming of our Savior, the birth that still inspires each one of us. You know, it's easy for us to get wrapped up into the Christmas season, making sure we got all of our presents, making sure that Santa got his list, and who's been naughty and nice. But the truth is, this is where we often focus. We have it perfectly set up here on the stage. We've got the manger, the babies down below, and we have the cross over here. And that's what Jesus came to do. And tonight, I want to read from you guys some passages from the Bible. In Luke 1, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of that house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. The angel told her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' And Mary asked, 'How can this be, since I have not been with a man?' And the angel replied to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and that is in the sixth month of her who was called childless. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'See, I am the Lord's servant,' said Mary. 'May it happen as you have said.' And then the angel left her. A little while later, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. The whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to their own town. Joseph also went out from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. Whilst they were there, they came time for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him tightly in a manger because there's no room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to people." When the angels had left them, they returned to heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported this message that they could to everybody they found. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds had to say. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Often this is where we focus our Christmas story, and this is where it stays, is the coming of baby Jesus. And as we gather here this evening, let's not forget what this child came to do. He came to show us how to live our lives. He came to show us how to pray. And most of all, Jesus came to make a way for us to return to our Heavenly Father. He did this through the cross. You see, at the end of Jesus' ministry here on earth, he was taken away and put on trial for crimes that he did not commit. He came to bear all the sins for each one of us once and for all, though he knew no sin himself. See, the Jewish high priests and the elders of the Sanhedrin accused Jesus of blasphemy, arriving at this decision to put him to death. But first they needed the Roman Empire to approve the death sentence. So Jesus was taken to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor in Judea, although Pilate had found him innocent, unable to find even the slightest of thing reason to condemn Jesus. He feared the crowds, and he let them decide Jesus' fate. Stirred up by the Jewish chief priests and the crowds declared, "Crucify him." As was common, Jesus was publicly scourged and beaten with a leather whip before crucifixion. Tiny pieces of iron and bone chips were tied at the end of this leather whip, causing deep cuts and painful bruises. He was mocked, struck in the head and the staff, and spit on. A prickly crown of thorns was placed on his head, and he was stripped naked. Too weak to carry his own cross anymore, a man by the name of Simon was forced to carry it for him. He was led to where he would be crucified, as was custom. Before they nailed him to the cross, a mixture of vinegar, gall, and myrrh was offered. But Jesus refused to drink it. Stake-like nails were driven through both his hands and feet, fastening him to the cross where he was crucified between two convicted criminals. The inscription above his head taunted, reading, "The King of the Jews." Jesus hung on the cross for his final agonizing breaths in a period that lasted several hours. During this time, the soldiers came along and cast lots for its clothing, while people passed by shouting insults and scoffing from the cross. Jesus spoke to his mother Mary and his disciple John one last time. He also cried out to his father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And at that point, darkness covered the land. And a little later, as Jesus gave up his spirit and said, "It is finished," an earthquake shook the ground, ripping the temple veil in two from top to bottom. Matthew's gospel records that the earth shook and the rocks split and the tombs were broken open. It was typical for Roman soldiers to show mercy by breaking the criminal's leg, thus causing the death to come more quickly. But this night, only the thieves had their legs broken. For when the soldiers came to Jesus, they had found him already dead. Instead of piercing his side before sunset, Jesus was taken down by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and laid in Joseph's tomb according to Jewish tradition. 3 days later, when two Marys went to the tomb, they found it empty, just as Jesus had said it would be. And as they turned to run and tell the others, they found Jesus standing in front of them. Jesus had been beaten to death, paid the ultimate sacrifice for you and I, so that we have a way back to the Father. Let us this evening remember that what the child came to do. Let us remember that Jesus was not just a baby, but God himself coming into this world to restore all of mankind to himself. And that's the reason we have this season. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening and this time of remembrance of why you came into this earth and why we celebrate you. Father, I ask that you just open up each one of our hearts tonight and just remember that even after a thousands of births, one still inspires us, and it was you and your Son. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This evening as we prepare for communion, and I hope many of you were able to get it. If somebody needs it, we can have some of the deacons possibly. If somebody needs it, put your hand up, because we're about to take communion this evening. I feel it's very important that we take communion on Christmas Eve as a reminder of what Christ came to do. In 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29, it says, "Then whoever eats the bread of the drinks and drinks of the cup of the Lord is unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself in that way. Let him eat and drink bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." What this means here is for each one of us is before we take communion, I want each one of us to take about a minute. And if there's anything that you haven't confessed to God, if there's anything you've been holding back from him, just silently in prayer, hand that over to him before we take this. Father, as we prepare to take this communion, may we remember what it stands for. May we just confess what we have. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus was dining with his disciples, and he took the piece of bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and me." As we prepare to close out this evening, we have one more tradition of the church. We all get up, we get to circle around and sing one more song by candlelight. I would love for you each to join and find an aisle, and we will get that going. We'll light your candles at three different spots as you guys go around then. So if you guys can just circle up and we'll just pass the candlelight down. How beautiful it is. If I could have members of the worship team start us in a song. Merry Christmas, everyone. I love it. Truly, may God bless each and every one of you as you travel home this evening and spend time with your family and friends. It's been a joy and an honor to join you. And may we remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. God bless.